Troll Scroll.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Troll Scroll, your Elder Scrolls Online podcast. We're thrilled to have each and every one of you listening to us tonight. We have some very cool findings to talk about today. TESO has a subscription motto? Maybe? I don't know. It's not officially confirmed, but officially hinted at. We continue to talk about guilds from episode 2. What will crafting bring to TESO? Player housing, a future possibility? And lastly, we address our mealtime questions for this week. But first, my fellow Michigander, the French guy, Tim LaPerriere.
Hey!
Hello. How's it going?
What's going on, man? Oh, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Is this some RP?
No, I just like sounding suave.
Oh, I'm doing swell. I'm thrilled to talk about today's episode. We have so much content here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just kick it off with this subscription motto. You know, first of all, three claps for the governor towards Tamriel Foundry. They were the guys that sort of found this. They did find this. They found this hinted sort of document on the ZeniMax job listings page for the accounting / finance manager. Basically, this is, I'm just bear with me here. I'm going to read this. ZeniMax Online Studios is seeking an accounting / finance manager to be responsible for technical accounting aspects of the company's revenue streams and internal financial controls, ensuring the integrity throughout by providing technical expertise, business sense, and a strong desire to improve processes and accountability. This person will report to the Directory of Finance and Studio Operations and support finances, sales, marketing, and legal teams. The ideal candidate should have a strong knowledge of accounting / GAAP. And then to add this, this is sort of interesting. The job listing continued to describe like requirements, prerequisites, job responsibilities, etc. And then it had like a section that was pluses, I guess, for having this job. And the pluses is experience with subscription-based revenue streams, a passion for computer games and the computer game industry, and it just kept going. But the thing that stuck out was experience with subscription-based revenue streams. That sort of gives you a plus if you're applying for this job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What do you think, Tim? Do you think that the Elder Scrolls Online is pretty much subscription-based?
I mean, I would say this is a pretty solid clue. Just because, I mean, I guess they could be looking at it maybe from a competition standpoint. Okay, so they're like, okay, hey, we need somebody that's familiar with this kind of stuff so that when we go into, you know, our payment model, we have an idea of what our competition is doing. Okay, even though there's only like 1.5 games out there that does a subscription-based model, and I say 1.5 because you got, you know, WoW, and then you've got Tor, but they're going free-to-play, and then you've got Warhammer Online, but Warhammer, I mean, let's be real here. Warhammer has like 500 people playing that game. So, I think, yeah, I think, yeah, this is probably a good clue. A good, solid clue. If I was a detective, which I'm not, but.
Yeah, and something that the guys from Tamriel Foundry also pointed out was this job description document, this page, was taken down for maintenance.
No.
Coincidence. Is that a coincidence? And it sounds like when they did take it down for maintenance, when they brought it back, that part was omitted from the document. So should we take this?
Oh, great. So that's a definite another good clue. I mean, I shouldn't say definite. Maybe they don't want to give people the wrong idea. You know, I mean, there's... I'm trying to play devil's advocate here because I don't want to say, yes, subscriptions have been confirmed, because that's not the case in any sense. But, you know, I think that there is a good chance that we're going to see a pay-to-play model, which would be great because, you know, I think that's the best way to go, in my personal opinion. But I think with the evidence that we have, I think it's leaning more towards pay-to-play than free-to-play. But there's still that chance, like I said, that, you know, they could just be looking at it to see, you know, what the competition's up to and stuff like that. So it could still go either way, I suppose.
I think that based on how they've acted and how they've executed this whole thing, taking down the page, re-editing it, I think that's saying that they aren't going subscription-based. I feel like they're trying to – I feel like they're like, oh, crap. We have that in there. Shoot, we should take that out. We're not going subscription based. I don't know. And I also, to me, it seems like this is one of the major things that are the question about this game, is if they're going sub based or free to play. The game comes out next year. We knew other MMOs payment models 1 to 2 years before the game launched. I don't understand why it's being so held close to the chest.
Tours was held closely, too. We didn't find out Tours' subscription model until, I think, July of last year, or even August. It was like 2 months before we even knew the release date. So, and Tours had been announced 3 years prior.
Yeah, but wasn't it, we knew that it was going to be subscription-based, because the guy from, I forget his name.
Yeah, but he
was one of the executives. He said that if we had 500,000 subscribers, and he said this like last E3, the E3 before.
Yeah, but even still, summer. I mean, even if they confirmed it last year in E3, I mean, E3 is in June, Tor was released in December. I mean, if we're going at that route, then we still have until, I guess, next E3 for ESO to announce their subscription model. You know, they've still got plenty of time. And I seriously think that they're taking into consideration the route Tor goes. Because, I mean, Tor was such a huge game. You know, Tor had major hype going for that game. I mean, it had 2.1 million likes on Facebook or something like that. It had just a ridiculous amount of people. I mean, we went to conventions. It took like 4 hours to play the game for 15 minutes. Okay, it was like waiting for a ride at Cedar Point. All right. And that game had so much hype going for it. And then it launched. And it was like the second biggest MMO in the world for what, a month? I mean, it was huge. It had like 2.3 million subscribers. Okay, it was huge. And when I say second biggest, I mean, you know, don't quote me on that. I'm just saying it was a big deal when it launched. But then it failed. Well, I shouldn't say failed, but didn't go the route EA and BioWare intended, right? It went from 2.1 million to like probably, I don't know. The last time I heard it was down to 300. I'm sure they've gone even further down from that, probably down to 100, if that, you know. So I'm sure they're looking at this and going, okay, Tor was pay to play. It kind of got screwed. Let's see how they bounce back when they go free to play in October or fall or November, whenever they're going free to play.
So you think they might consider a hybrid model?
No, not necessarily that. They might try that. Yes, they might think about that because I believe what Lord of the Rings Online has that too. And apparently that's don't quote me on that, but I know there's another game out there that has a hybrid model that works very, very well. But I think they might be just seeing how many people play the game when it's free to play. You know, they'll look at the statistics and see if they can find out how many people Tor has playing free-to-play and how many people they have, you know, subscription-based. And they can kind of compare and get a better idea of, you know, what model works better, which one's more profitable, which one will keep people playing the game, make the game feel more alive, and be able to sustain their studio so they can keep creating content for players. Because ultimately that's what screwed over Tor in the end, was they just didn't have enough content, you know? And I think that's what they're going to be waiting for before they announce anything, before they make their final decision. They kind of want to wait to see what happens with Tor. Plus Guild Wars 2 just launched, right? And Guild Wars 2 is free to play, you know? So I really think they're looking at all these big MMOs right now, and they're kind of taking in and, you know, just, I guess, I don't want to use the word digesting, but they're digesting the, you know, possible, I guess, subscription models. I guess that was a really bad.
They're observing.
They're observing, absorbing, and chewing. I don't know. I can't think of anything clever or witty to say. I apologize. But you get what I'm saying. I think they're taking all these, you know, MMOs and going, okay, this is what works. This is what doesn't. This is the route we want to go. And that's good, because, I mean, it's important that they find a solid payment plan that can sustain their studio. Otherwise, we're going to have another Tor, and I'm going to cry.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to cry. So will many other people.
I guess I recant on what I said earlier. It is a good thing that they're sort of waiting till last minute to make the decision, because there's so many games right now that are sort of in limbo, like Tor, for an example, that started with a sub-based model, and now they're moving to free-to-play this November. They're going to see if it works out for them. And if it does, all right, they'll take that into account, and maybe they can do that. If it doesn't, if it totally bombs and nothing progresses, then they could figure it out from there. So, yeah, it's like they're doing their research. So that's really good. I agree. Last week, in episode 2 of Lore Noobs, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, this is definitely a topic we're going to come back to, the topic of lore, in a future episode. But we talked about the NPC guilds. We touched on it a little bit. There were a couple things that we didn't get to talk about because our show's runtime was sort of going longer than what we planned. But Tim, NPC guilds, we got, for example, Fighters Guild, Dark Brother,
Mage Guild.
What else? Mage Guild.
Thieves Guild.
We got all these guilds. Bar's Which College. One do you want to be into?
Which one do I want to be in?
Yeah, if you could only be in one.
I mean, me and almost every other Elder Scrolls fan will probably choose the Dark Brotherhood. I just because, I mean, being an Assassin's Suite, right? Okay, even if it's sort of screwed up. It's like Assassin's Creed, okay? I love Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed 3, can't wait for that game. That's like my most anticipated game of this year. And I'm totally stoked for that game. I mean, obviously it's not like Assassin's Creed 3, but I can pretend, right? So, you know, I just... Dark Brotherhood, I would have to say. Dark Brotherhood.
Look at you, the role player.
I mean, I really wouldn't role play. I would just jump on top of a building and wait for somebody to... I mean, I guess that's role playing. And then just kind of have that mental sound of an eagle screaming, you know, or however they make that noise, and then dive, do a leap of faith.
You dive off a building and die.
And just... What was that?
There's no hay. There's no hay cart.
Oh, yeah, there's no hay. Completely miss it by a couple feet.
Oops. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Now I'm glad you brought up the Dark Brotherhood, because the Dark Brotherhood was one of the guilds that we don't know what the prerequisite is going to be to get into that guild. We don't really know the story behind
right.
In the Elder Scrolls Online. Speculate here, man. What do you think? How do you think you're going to be initiated? Become an initiate within this guild.
Minor spoilers here. Minor spoilers, because it's Elder Scrolls. But to get in Oblivion, I didn't play Morrowind. I don't know if they're in Morrowind. But I know in Oblivion you had to kill somebody, and I believe it had to be somebody that was innocent. Or I don't know if killing somebody in the arena worked. But I know that you had to kill somebody. I think it was in Cold Blood. And then when you went to sleep, you woke up and there was a dude that was just staring at you, and he was like, "Hey, want to join a club?" Just like, okay. Actually, he doesn't even say that. He's just like, here's a dagger, go kill somebody. If you kill them, you're in the club. If not, well, you won't ever see us again. That was cool. In Skyrim, you had to go and talk to a kid who was all like, yeah, oh, I hate this old woman. Go kill her. And you go and kill her. So I guess that was kind of in Cold Blood too. So I guess really it's pretty much Cold Blood killing is what gets you into Dark Brotherhood. Just the sheer joy of killing somebody. So
you think that you could just kill like an innocent NPC?
Yeah, I mean, games have like NPCs that you can attack, but they aren't hostile towards you. So like
they're yellow.
Yeah, they're yellow. You know, like critters in WoW or Tor had like refugees or whatever walking around in certain areas. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's what it's gonna be. You know, you just kill one and then some guy pops up. He's like, hey, how's it going? Hey, you want to hang out with us? But I think it's gonna be a little bit more. I hope there's a little bit more depth to it. You know, I hope maybe there's a quest line or something that you can start, much like Skyrim's quest line. But yeah, maybe it's a hidden secret quest line you have to start, and you end up having to kill off some innocent guy who's just trying to feed his family, and you take the bread and beat him to death with it, and that's it. Then they're like, hey, you're in.
But I know last week we talked about there's three factions you can be a part of in the Elder Scrolls Online. So how are the guilds going to work?
Right.
Are they going to have, you know, a guild sort of cell or embassy for each of the three factions? Or is there just going to be like the area that the guild resides in is sort of a neutral area? We don't really know. I think it makes more sense to have the guilds be separate. There's a Dark Brotherhood embassy in, you know, the Ebonheart Pact territory. There's one in the Daggerfall Covenant territory, etc. Because the only world that's connected, or all three factions players can come together, is around Cyrodiil. So if they had these locations, sort of a universal location, that would mean that it would be in the RVR Lake. And would that make sense?
I don't know. You know, I guess it's hard to say without really knowing how the world totally works.
What about this? What about this? This is, and like I said, this is speculation, okay?
Yeah.
This isn't fact.
No, none.
This isn't confirmed speculation. What if, when you get control of the Imperial City, one of the benefits and bonuses of having control of the Imperial City is you have access to the guilds within it? That's the time when you have control of that city where you can build your reputation with the guilds and get your quest from those guilds and stuff like that.
I mean, I could see that being, I mean, that is a possibility, but it would kind of suck at the same point or the same time too, because if you were doing the quest line and then your, you know, faction loses the Imperial City or it resets or whatever, then you can't do those quests anymore. You can't turn those quests in, or you can't continue your story. I don't think they're going to have something that's going to completely block out your story. I guess, like I said, it's really hard to tell without knowing how the world works. And again, I'm going to say it too. It's all speculation at this point. So, I mean, let's say the only place you can attack players is in the RVR Lake, okay? Maybe if you join a faction, or you join your faction and then you join a guild, maybe if you're in a Dark Brotherhood hideaway, you can interact with other players of different factions. Because technically speaking, one of the tenets, I believe, is you can't kill a fellow Dark Brotherhood member. So you could sit there and you're like, oh, hey, how's it going? Blah, 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 blah. And I mean, just for RP standpoint or RP purposes, you can talk to and hang out with these players in this, like, this neutral area within, you know, certain key points around, I guess, Tamriel. And then in the RVR, like, it doesn't matter. Because, like I said, from a story standpoint, people are going to be like, oh, that's not cool. I'm in the Dark Brotherhood, he's in the Dark Brotherhood, and he killed me. From certain standpoints, you have to, and this is, I mean, I'm taking this from what a developer said back in Tor. I believe it was Daniel Erickson who said it. For anybody who cares, you have to at some point sacrifice story for gameplay. So, in an RVR lake, somebody on the different faction as you, even if they're in the same guild as you, NPC guild, you can still attack and kill them. Because, I mean, I think personally, the Fighters Guild and the Dark Brotherhood are going to be two of the most popular guilds. Just because you're going to get the people that want to be a part of a guild that's good, and then people that's part of a guild that's bad, and you know, you're going to get a bunch of people like that, and they're going to be trying to kill each other here on this battlefield. totally wouldn't be cool if you run in and then you see 100 players and 80 of them are Dark Brotherhood players, and you're a Dark Brotherhood player, so you can't attack 80 of those players, and you have to sit there and watch them just slaughter your guild because the rest of your guild is in the Fighter's Guild or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So at some point, you got to sacrifice game mechanics. But yeah, I don't know. I really don't know how it's going to work. Something ZeniMax is definitely going to have to elaborate a little bit more on. Hopefully in the near future, because I'm curious, and I know a lot of people out there are curious as well.
Yeah, hopefully. I hope to see an update on that very soon. Moving right along. You know, ZeniMax Online Studios said that housing will not be implemented at the release of the game. Player housing. Sort of a buzzkill. Sort of a bummer. Seems like that's something every new MMORPG that's coming out nowadays, they have some aspect or form of player housing. The Elder Scrolls Online doesn't. I don't know why that is. Sort of disappointing. But, Tim, do you think this is a potential possibility post-release?
There was player housing in Oblivion. I know for sure. Again, I can't speculate on anything but for Morrowind. But I'm sure it was in there, especially with mods. Oblivion had it, Skyrim had it, and then Skyrim's also got that new expansion that came out, Hearthfire. So I really think that definitely in the future, it's something that they'll definitely expand upon.
Well, I mean, and that's something else that's thrown everyone off, is there's been housing in every Elder Scrolls game.
Right. You know? Yeah, and I mean, yeah, it's just, it's... Sometimes you have to, for development purposes, you know, look at what needs to be in the game for launch and what you can add as a cool expansion later on. Okay? Sometimes you have to look at it and go, this is key that we make RVR work because that's our selling point. Player housing is a nice fresh coat of paint that we can toss, you know, we can hammer out the details there later and, you know, toss it out as an expansion or a major patch or a game update or whatever down the road. You know, something that'll, you know, when people are not necessarily getting bored, but they're also looking for something to do in endgame, they're kind of like, hey, you know, it'd be cool if we had something else to do. ZeniMax would be like, oh, hey, by the way, we have player housing. Yeah, that's right. Find a place on Tamriel and, you know, set up your house and yada, 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 yada. Or, you know, go to major cities and set up your house there or something like that. You know, you can purchase property, whatever. Yeah, definitely something they can add later on. So,
how would you like to see player housing implemented? Would you like to see it as sort of a phased, instanced thing, or would you actually like to see the sort of SWG Ultima Online version of housing, where there's houses in these territories just spread out across the land?
I ultimately, since I've never played an MMO, I mean, I played Galaxies for a while, but that was like a year or 2 years after that major patch, and there was like, you know, only a handful of people playing the game, so every city you went to that was player built was dead. I've never truly played an MMO where they've had free reign housing wherever you wanted to put a house, you could just build one. So I would personally like to see that, just because I think that would be cool, but I could see where that would be an issue, because it would, you know, start littering the land with just, you know, random houses and stuff like that.
Then what happens when a player stops playing?
Right, you know, and let's, you know, let's venture up into Skyrim. Okay, we're in Skyrim. Oh, you got Windhelm, but we're going to build this major city right next to Windhelm, and it's kind of like, ooh, wait a minute. How is that in Skyrim lore, you know? What are we going to work in? You know, it's like, to some extent, I guess you could have sandbox, you know, where people are just, like, making up their own story and whatnot. But, I mean, let's just, I just think... I just don't think it would work. I think it'll probably end up being like Tor, like RuneScape, stuff like that, where it's just like, yes, I did say RuneScape, where it's like, you go to a place, okay, there's not necessarily a portal, but there's, you know, a house, and you walk up to it, and when you go through the door, you go into your house, and when a friend goes through the door, they go into their house, and then you can visit other people's houses based on, you know, clicking on the door, being invited by, you know, your friend or something like that. I think it's going to be more instanced, to be honest with you. Unfortunately, but I just don't see them allowing players to litter the landscape with just houses. Plus, I mean, you know, even if they did, I highly doubt they would let you do it in RVR. But I mean, could you imagine if you could do that in RVR? People are just trying to set up like these houses and cities inside of like Cyrodiil. It's just like, as a war is going on, people are like, let's take the cape!
That'd be epic.
Let's take the cape! Guy's like, ah, I'm building my shed! Or, duh! My house! It's on fire! Like, I mean, I guess that would be cool, but I don't know. I just think...
You know, WildStar Online...
Oh, God.
They have a housing system that looks pretty cool. They're keeping everything fluently in the open world, all the player housing, but in that game, the housing's going to be sort of like up in the sky on these
floating.
Sort of floating sky platforms. I'm not saying they have that for Elder Scrolls Online, but Elder Scrolls Online is all about the story and the lore. Maybe like you have player housing through like a magical portal.
Oblivion. You go into the Oblivion.
You
step through,
and there's just
a portal to Oblivion.
Land in all these houses of your player's faction.
Daedric Prince is like, hey, what's up, buddy? Come build your house next to my lava pit. Let's hang out.
Yeah, I guess that wouldn't work.
Don't mind those little Daedra.
Take that back.
Don't mind the Daedra. They'll spit fire at you. Don't mind them. Don't mind. Just don't build your house out of straw. Just bring some rock. Be good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably not gonna work.
I mean, it's a good guess.
Yeah, good fail.
Maybe the Mage's Guild can raise some land up into the sky for us. You know, you can join the Mage's Guild and you can build a house in the sky.
You know what we could do? Totally take it back. We go underground. What happened to the dwarves? They got those huge cities and stuff underground.
Yeah,
we'll just settle.
The dwarves are also extinct.
Yeah. Perfect. We got all that extra space.
Oh, perfect.
Everyone,
right. I
housing
know.
Areas maybe, right under Skyrim.
Maybe it's,
let's go.
Maybe the moral of the whole story is not to build underground. That's what I'm kind of getting at. Maybe they all got, you know, like... You know what? I'm not going to speculate on it because some guy who knows what happened to the dwarves... I don't even know if we even know because I know that was a major mystery in Skyrim. But some guy who somehow figured it out
is going
to be like...
don't know for sure. I don't
you,
think.
Sir, are incorrect. And I'm going to be like, look, I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just going to leave that.
Yeah. Ultimately, player housing would not be in the game at release. I hope this is something they sort of look into post-release. I would like to have sort of my little crib. Hey, even if they don't have player housing, but if they have something like a guild hall, I would be content with
that.
Hey,
that
I just
works
want
too.
Some aspect that I can call
and
property of my own or property of ours as a guild.
And I want them to make it cooler than Tours, okay? Because your starship was cool for like 15 minutes, and then when you realized everybody else had the same starship, that was your same class, and then you shared, if you were a Sith or a Jedi, you shared the same as another Sith and Jedi class, you're like, wow, this is sort of lame. Like, I just, be able to decorate, okay? Keep it like Elder Scrolls. Be able to buy furniture for your house. Be able to move things around. Be able to put stuff on the bookshelves. You know, store your books there. Have NPC companions there if there's, you know, those in the game. If you can get married or whatever, you know? I mean, Skyrim, that was Skyrim's big, not really big thing, but that was a thing you could do in Skyrim. You get married, and then apparently in Hearthfire now you can adopt children. I don't know why you can't have your own children, but you can adopt children. So...
Well, you're Dragonborn.
Right. You're Dragonborn. So therefore, you know.
It would be like Khaleesi. A dragon would. Dragon baby thing would.
Oh, okay. No. Right. Yeah. That's.
It's a little
too
graphic.
We're done with that conversation. But, yeah. I okay. Wow.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Completely just derailed me. I have no idea where I was at. But the point is. The point is, I have no idea where I was at.
You were talking about apparently you can't, you know, have children of your own, but you need to adopt them.
Yeah, I know, but before that. Anyways, just there's a lot they could do with player housing afterwards and or after the game launches, and I hope that they take it seriously and they actually put effort into it. Not saying that they wouldn't, you know, ZeniMax hasn't done anything. ZeniMax actually has done a really great job in my books because they post on Facebook every day and Twitter with trivia questions. They're spotlighting fan sites and stuff like that. I mean, they're seriously going all out for the community right now. And we barely know anything about the game. All right. I mean, ZeniMax is doing a great job so far in my eyes. So, you know, this is good news, but you know, I hope that they have something like that planned for after launch, and I hope that they take it seriously and make it worthwhile. And, you know, let's be able to have more than three other people in our house too. Okay. I keep ragging on Tor, but I mean, like, how are you supposed to have a party in your starship or a guild meeting or something when you only got four people? I mean, what? Let's go like RuneScape. You could have like hundreds, I think. You could have just boatloads of people in your house. It was sweet. You could like legit have a house party and show off your house to people. That was fun. That was fun. So, here's to, if in my opinion, I would like to see a Hearthfire, so to speak, for Elder Scrolls Online down the road after it's polished and well thought out.
Cheers.
Cheers.
crafting, alchemy, and soul stones will exist in the Elder Scrolls Online. ZeniMax Online Studios wants players to be interactive with the world. Crafting, hunting, gathering resources, these will all be sort of features within the game's economic system. The ability to use and interact with mundane objects throughout the world is an important way to connect to the game and to the Elder Scrolls IP. You will be able to loot crates, barrels, chests, and harvest resources throughout the world. I am thrilled that you'll be able to loot stuff. That's one of my favorite things about playing an Elder Scrolls game.
Digging through barrels?
You go into a house and you can steal things. Do you think you'll be able to steal things?
That's my favorite. Well, there's the Thieves Guild.
Oh, there you go. Look at the speculation go.
Well, it's not really speculation. I mean, what's the Thieves Guild going to do if they can't steal anything? You know what I'm saying? They're just like, so we're a group of people that imagine bank robberies and other foolish things.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That makes sense, though. I'm thrilled. Do you think that we like with pretty much all the other information in this game so far that we have, it's very vague. But crafting, hunting, and gathering resources, do you plan on doing any of this?
Most definitely.
Do you plan on being a crafter, Tim?
Crafting has never really been my strong suit, just because I've never... RuneScape, crafting was grinding. Okay. So, I mean, same with other games, you know, like, WoW, you know, you sit there and you kind of just keep clicking. Tor kind of did something different, but to me it really didn't feel... It was deeper, but at the same time it was heroic crafting. Your companions did it, you didn't do it. And I mean, to me...
It could have been good. Tor could have had it set.
Right.
They could have had it set, but...
They just needed more to it.
They sort of messed it up.
Yeah.
They sort of messed it up.
But, I mean, you know, I've never been a huge crafter. You know, just because I've... Tor teased at there being schematics that would be viable in endgame, like legit viable in endgame, that only a couple people on your server would ever be able to make. You know, never seen a recipe like that in Tor. Never heard about anybody finding a cool weapon that was limited. You know, and I'm not saying that there should be that kind of stuff, but to me, some of the crafting stuff, people always find the best crafting thing. Right? In Tor, it was biochem. Okay? Because you got med packs and stimulants and adrenals and stuff that you could use to make your character stronger. Okay? Or slicing. You know, people could hack into lock boxes and get more credits. You know, WoW had enchanting. You know, there's always that one skill that people take over other skills because it's quote-unquote the OP crafting skill. And I kind of, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, I want to be, like, I wanted to be, an engineer or whatever in WoW. Because you could get sweet mounts or whatever, is that what it was called, engineering? You could get sweet mounts and you could build, you know, I just thought it was cool to tinker, and the whole idea of building sweet gizmos and gadgets was awesome. And, you know, I stuck with it and, you know, it paid off. I mean, there was, you know, cool things you could build. But then when you went over to like Tor, again, I don't mean to hate so much on Tor, but you go over to Tor, engineering was cybertech, essentially. You could build mounts, but the mounts weren't cool. You could build grenades, but they got nerfed to, like, you could only build a grenade 5 feet in front of you, and it had, like, a 5-minute cooldown, 5-6-minute cooldown. So, like, it was completely useless. You know, they completely destroyed that skill. You know, I like that kind of stuff, the whole tinkering and stuff like that, building cool mounts, and I don't really see you being able to build any cool mounts, considering all mounts are probably horses in this game. So, you know, I don't really see something like that happening, really. But, you know, maybe siege weapons. You know, maybe you could build siege weapons that are stronger and better, you know, than other siege weapons that you can just purchase from NPCs. And again, I kind of speculate a little bit on that in the next RVR article, which is coming out, by the way. I apologize for those who have been waiting for it. I had a couple things going on and real life that I had to take care of first, but nonetheless, it's coming out. It should be up within the next couple days, or by the time you hear this, it should already be up. Anyways, I digress. Point is, you know, there could be siege weapons that crafters could build, you know, ammunition that crafters could build, so the siege weapons could fire that kind of stuff. You know, I typically stay away from crafting, though, but that was a complete and utter just ramble of the original question. If I'm going to do any of that stuff, I'm probably going to do hunting. Just because I found using a bow in Skyrim a lot of fun, and kind of stalking through the woods and then seeing, like, you know, a mammoth and trying to, you know, shoot the mammoth with an arrow. And of course, you know, the mammoth, you know, charges at me, and then trolls come at me, or giants or whatever come at me, and giants, and then I kind of get screwed. But I mean, the point is, you know, it's fun, you know, stalking a deer or elk or a bear or a wolf or something like that. Then, you know, getting the pelts. Stuff like Assassin's Creed 3 has it coming out, hunting now. Of course, I've seen a video. It's not really hunting, it's just Connor stabbing an animal with a hidden blade. But that, oh yeah, it's
very gruesome.
Sort of weird. But Red Dead Redemption had it, you know, it was stuff like that. It's fun to do. You know what I'm saying? Like Red Dead Redemption, you can just kind of stalk around for a little bit, and, you know, they had hunting challenges for you to do. So you had to kill a certain amount of bears, certain amount of this, certain amount of that, certain amount of this, and then you complete this challenge and you move on to the next one or whatever. You know, that stuff's fun. Okay. Having little challenges that you can, you know, eventually work for, like, titles or weapons or whatever. You know, make the hunting worth it. You know, make the meat, make it so that, you know, you can sell the meat for a decent price. You know, the fur can go to crafters for armor. The meat can go to crafters for people who have cooking, you know, or whatever. Make it so that you got people that actually take the time to do this stuff. Because there's nothing worse than doing something knowing, you know, working on a skill knowing that it's a waste of your time. You know, there's nothing worse than sitting there going, ah, this is completely useless. I have no desire whatsoever to be doing this, but I'm doing it because, you know, whatever reason I have to.
Well, and that's the thing that I always struggle with. I never get into crafting with any MMORPG I've played. I've never gotten into it because when you get to the top tier of your crafting ability, it doesn't benefit you in the end game.
Nope.
Like if it's viable, I still won't do it because it's not the best. So what incentive do I have to craft? I know a lot of players do enjoy crafting when they're leveling up, because I can make gear and stuff. That will last them a couple levels, but to me, I can't get into that. I just feel like it's a waste of time because the stuff that I do make will become obsolete, you know, my next playthrough. And if Elder Scrolls Online makes crafting legit, like, if you can craft pieces of armor that are in the top tier of, you know, this is what players who are tackling the end game are wearing. This is the armor they're wearing. I'm not saying all the pieces, but if they give me incentive to make pieces like shoulder pads or helm, I can make my armor sets, shoulder pads, and helmet with my crafting ability and crafting skill, and then the other pieces I can get when, you know, the boss is dead and we get that loot drop from him. That would be cool. That would give me incentive to do crafting. But no other MMO has done that. Crafting is always just like, yeah, this can sort of ease your leveling experience because you can make weapons and armor that are good, you know, and viable.
Right. And
the only time I've gotten into crafting when it had to do with, like, making a sweet mount. That's, like, the only time I've gotten into it was when I was making a mount.
Right. Something you can show off. You want something that you can show off to people. That's what it comes down to. That's what all... Well, not, I shouldn't say all MMOs come down to, but people... I mean, why do you grind out gear? Okay? Because it looks cool. Okay? There's a reason why developers make endgame gear look awesome. Because it makes you look awesome, and it gives you incentive to continue playing that endgame to get the awesome gear. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if they made the awesome gear at low level, nobody's going to want to get the higher gear. The only reason they'd be getting the higher gear is for the stats. And that's, you know, I mean, that's important too, right? But, I mean, yeah, it's got to look cool. People like showing off what they've accomplished. People like showing off, hey, look, I'm a total BA because I have this sweet mount, this sweet armor, this sweet pet, whatever, you know? So they need something like that. And to play off of what you were saying about the whole, you know, making shoulder pads or helmet or something like that, don't quote me on this. Do not quote me on this. I'm not entirely sure if this is true or not. I think it's in that interview that was conducted. I think Game Informer did it, or whoever did it, that interview, that video interview. I think they said something, again, I'm not entirely sure if this is true, so do not take this as 100% fact. Somebody's gonna have to do some digging, I'll look into it afterwards. But, I think there is, I think they said that there's no set, like, PvP gear and no set PvE gear. It's all essentially one set. And you can get gear that, you know, is good in PvP and gear that's good in PvE. But to get, like, a full one set piece of awesome gear, you have to do both PvP and PvE. So I think you have to do, like, RVR and then, like, go and do some raids or something like that. To get the gear. I'm not entirely sure if that's true or not, but for some reason that comes to mind. I think that's what they said. Which, if that's true, I'm totally all for that. Because what sucks is you still have to do a lot of grinding and stuff like that. And yeah, some people are gonna be like, oh, I only do PvP, so that's kind of crap that I have to do PvE. I mean, okay, but I don't personally see a problem with it, me. Just because I'm going to experience all the content. Anyways, plus, you don't have to switch back and forth between gear sets. You know, that's the biggest thing. I hate having to have two gear sets. Okay, I hate that feeling of grinding for two gear sets. I hate that feeling of just like, God, I got my PvP set, sweet. Now I gotta go spend, you know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever, getting my PvE set. You know, it's just, heck, it's crap. Dumb. You know, and yeah, people are gonna say, well, that's what an MMO is about, grinding gear and da 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 da. That's what endgame is. Endgame to me is, it shouldn't feel like a second job, it should feel like something fun. And so if I'm experiencing RVR, I get my gear, awesome. You know, let's say I get the shoulder pads, the chest piece, and the legs from RVR. Then I go and get the gloves, the boots, cape or whatever, shield from PvE. Okay, then I go off and I can craft a helmet and sword and, you know, so on and so forth through crafting. Okay, so you have to experience all these different elements of the game to get this really sweet, awesome-looking gear. You know, maybe they shouldn't do that for all sets. Maybe they should have, you know, for people that want to do PvP, have a set that's in PvP, so people that want to do just that can do that. And then, you know, PvE and then crafting set, you know, to kind of show off what they've accomplished, but I seriously think that kind of combining and mixing the pot, so to speak, with all these different gear sets, taking gear sets and then, you know, spreading their pieces out through various pieces of game content, it encourages people to explore things that they normally wouldn't do. Okay, it encourages people to kind of break out of that bubble You know, because I know people that solely did PvE in Tor. We had plenty of people that did solely PvE in Tor, and then once, you know, they hated it, hated us forcing them to do PvP. They hated the idea, and then, you know, we forced them to do it. They jumped into it. They complained about it for a couple days, and then the next thing you know, they were PvPing by themselves all the time. Couldn't get enough of it. Loved it. You know, it forces people to do something that they normally wouldn't do, and chances are they're going to end up liking it. You know, and besides, I mean, that also forces people to participate in RVR. You know, so the RVR links are going to be more popular. That forces people to do raids, so now raids are going to be more populated. You know, you'll be able to find a raid group easier. Stuff like that.
Exactly.
You know, and that's stuff that I'm totally fine, totally okay with, totally cool with, because, you know, nobody wants to do RVR when there's only five other people doing it. Nobody wants to sit in a raid queue for, you know, 20 minutes. Nobody wants to sit in a raid queue for 2 hours. I mean, nobody wants to do that. They want things to happen because time is valuable in an MMO. Time is very valuable. So, you're paying for it, if you're paying for it. You know, you've already paid for the game. You know, you're sitting there. You want something to do, right? Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
All right, guys and gals, we are going to be concluding the episode soon, but first we do have two mail time questions. First one comes from, tweeted this on Twitter, esonline.pl, says, at Real Troll Scroll, what do you think about an idea of fighting on Molag Ball's side as a penalty of dying in Cyrodiil? Interesting. I don't know. This question is a little
Molag Ball vague. Is a bad dude.
But is he trying to say, like, let's say the Altmeri Dominion players win in the RVR lake and they get control of the Imperial City. Is he trying to say that the players of the Daggerfall Covenant and then Ebonheart Pact will then sort of be fighting for Molag Ball?
That would be cool. I honestly don't really see your own faction fighting against you unless there is a significant reward that if you fend off, you know, if you and Molag decide, you and Molag and the rest of the Imperial citizens fend off your faction, you get personally some huge reward. I really don't see that happening, though, because that, I mean, seems like they want to encourage, there's a lot of encouragement for faction community and stuff like that going on, that ZeniMax is spending time on, you know, with the public quests and stuff like that, to kind of, or dungeons, public dungeons, to kind of get players in the same faction working together. So I don't see that happening, but yeah, if, you know, one faction players die, they can play as the undead, maybe, in the Imperial.
In, like, the city.
Right. Yeah, that would be cool. That'd be nuts.
I feel like they should do something like that, because, like, in the first week, or second week, probably, a player faction will take control of the city. So, you got players that are trying to take the city from other players, and then you got two factions that are trying to do that. So you're also, you're fighting the people that currently hold the Imperial City. And then you have to worry about Molag Ball too, right?
Right.
So, you know, I'm assuming that the faction that's in control of the Imperial City, once they do lose control of the Imperial City, do you think that your control just comes to your faction? Or does the whole thing sort of reset and Molag Ball is back in the shape of things?
He would be back in control.
This is tough.
He would have to be back in control. You know what I'm saying? He would, because it would be like two factions. I mean, obviously it would have to be balanced. You wouldn't be playing, you know, as your full-blown character that's like, you know, because then you would have NPCs and two factions trying to fight off this one faction that one faction's like, unless they're OP at that time. They're not going to get very far, because that's a lot of people to fight off. So it would have to be somewhat balanced, right? You'd have to play as some, like, watered-down, I would assume, undead character. But, yeah, that would be totally cool, you know? And you guys fend them off. You and your team that participated in this little event get some sort of, you know, commendation for it. Maybe you get undead commendations or something like that, and then you can spend undead commendations on undead looking gear or, you know, whatever, an undead horse, I don't know, something like that.
I agree. I feel like they need to have a mechanic, because only one faction is going to be able to get to the final city, and I feel like there needs to be a battle for the city within the city, and I hope that ZeniMax Online Studios keeps the other two factions. It's a lot of players that are just going to, you know, sort of give up, I guess. They can't have that. There needs to be some type of, like, city battle.
Right.
I would hope. I would hope. So, yeah. I apologize if that wasn't the question you were trying to get across. I think that's what you mean. But, yeah, thanks for the question. And secondly, Jordan says, at Real Troll Scroll, I was disappointed to see you guys leave Tor, but what do you think Tiso has that Tor doesn't? Hashtag question. PvP.
RVR. People. Content. Endgame.
Yeah.
Developers.
To me, it comes down to the PvP.
I'm sorry.
I mean, Elder Scrolls Online is going to have a lot of voice acting, which is cool. Tor has that, too. But the PvP in the open world, that's what is attracting me so much to this.
And in all reality, that's the with all seriousness, I mean, you know, I said all those things, but in all seriousness, what attracts me to it is the RVR and the PvP, which is essentially the same thing. And just the fact that there's going to be endgame content at the end of the game, you know what I'm saying? I guess that's what endgame content is. But the fact that there's going to be something fun to do other than just two operations and flashpoints that we've already done. So, yeah.
There you go. So, Jordan and at esonline.pl, thank you so much for your maritime questions this week. We appreciate it. Guys and gals, that is episode 3 of Troll Scroll, your Elder Scrolls Online podcast. For more information, you can follow us on Twitter at Real Troll Scroll. You can look us up on Facebook, search keyword Troll Scroll. You'll find us. We would love it if you would like it. And visit www.trollscroll.com for all the news you need to know regarding the Elder Scrolls Online. We are going to have some editorials up within the next few days, along with this podcast. So thanks for tuning in. We will see you next week. Take care, everyone.
See ya.